Good evening, sports fans. My name is Dave Medina, and I am bringing you the world of sports as seen through the eyes of a guy in a little apartment in Santa Barbara. Good morning, sports fans. Good morning, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. And good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans. Good evening, sports fans.
From the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Welcome to the top five episodes of 2013 show, our special DITCOW retrospective and part of the 10 years of DITCOW year-long celebration. I'm Dave Medina. We are rounding out our fifth year of highlights. And in 2013, yes, the DITCOW program celebrated its fifth anniversary, and we certainly had a lot of different ways to go about it. We had our first notable, the MikeFrancesa.com member to join us in studio. We had the introduction of a new award of the month from Andy in Seattle, and some pretty fun random questions. We had the you know, the makings of the what we called the Kids Club at the time. Andy, Otis, sometimes Ron, sometimes Tommy. Definitely a lot going on in 2013. This version of the retrospective will really give you a feel for a show that's really starting to find its legs. Sometimes in the sports world, tragedy hits, and you know, the city doesn't really step away from it. You know, you may remember in 2013 in April, the Boston Marathon tragedy. Just horrific terrorist attack that took out several lives and injured many more. And, you know, we at DITCOW have dealt with serious tragedies, both in sports and not in sports. But since this one had affected the sports world pretty directly, it was only appropriate to address it before I went on with Ron in New Jersey for a NFL draft preview. So this is number five in our top five episode countdown of 2013. We open the show with thoughts on the Boston Marathon tragedy. Kevin on the Cape joins us for this week's edition of Random Questions as we return from our break, which happened last week when we did not do a podcast, and that's where we will start tonight. And there are a lot of reasons why I took the week off, but it didn't really have that much to do with what was going on at the time, but it certainly played into it once we got closer to the date. And by that, by the recent events, of course, we were speaking of the just horrible tragedy at the Boston Marathon the previous Monday, which was Patriots Day for the state of Massachusetts. It was it was really just a sad moment seeing that go down, and I didn't have anything prepared to say about it yet because we were still trying to absorb all the details. And you just first, when something like that happens, you have to make sure and see if it's true. And we noticed that a few days later when there was that falsified AP report about some kind of a bombing at the White House and President Barack Obama getting hurt. There's in the new age, you have to sit it out a little while to make sure and see how much of what you read is actually happening. So you wait and you wait and you see further tweets corroborating it. Then you see news reports and you see live feeds from Boston TV stations. And the results were obviously quite harrowing. It was really just a sad moment. So just watching that all go down, everybody felt still in that moment. Three people died. Many, many, many others were injured. Innocent marathon runners. All they wanted was a moment in the sun. Instead, they had a moment in the ER, and you couldn't think but feel terrible for all those who were involved. But from that sadness, the city of Boston and the great country of America was able to overcome that to a degree. I mean, it's not completely healed, but it will take time, and it will happen, I think, in due time. Terrorism is something that is a very, very difficult, complicated subject. And when it happens, especially here in this country,
it really makes you give pause to think about, you know, what got there, how do you get through it, and who, and then obviously the most important of those are your beloved ones and your friends okay. And that was the first thing I was thinking about, because, you know, they're I think with such a high profile event such as that, the odds of someone that you know being involved in it in some way, pretty good. So, you know, you worry about that. And thankfully that wasn't the case, for at least from my perspective, but that's not important. Many were affected here in such a horrific event. And in the aftermath, the questions were why, how, and whom. Thankfully, the whom got identified fairly quickly. And two perpetrators, both from the country of Chechnya, I believe, were involved in the bombing. Definitely a planned event. You know, that was the first question. Was it an accident? Was it premeditated? Definitely premeditated. Was it an act from the Taliban? At least from the current standpoint, it doesn't seem like that's the case, but it doesn't make it any less egregious or any less terrible. It was awful. And it took a while to recover for that for the city of Boston, but they did. And the tributes that came after that were really moving. And the search for those who perpetrated the act were underway. But how about the movement of technology in getting us to resolution and to a better world? Because of it, the persons in question were identified fairly quickly, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And it was weird. I mean, we still don't really know what the motives were. But the fact that, although people would always complain, oh, there's too much technology, too many cameras, there's not enough privacy on a, you know, on a busy city street and so on. But that presence seemed to work in our favor that time out. Because of it, you could identify who the people were, the suspicious backpacks, and it seems from what we know up to this point that all that information was proven to be correct. One was killed, I think, by the authorities. The other tried to kill himself. He couldn't even do it. They eventually hunted him down. He's pretty badly hurt, but now he's being detained and now arraigned for a court case. So America has now been freed of this terror, at least for the moment, and a great moment in recovering from such a thing like that. But there isn't a full recovery yet, and that's going to take time. So I just wanted to say that I want to send my condolences to all those who lost their lives in this terrible tragedy. And I want to send my sympathies to those who have been hurt by that tragedy, losing limbs, getting cut up, you know, losing their voice, possibly losing their hearing, all sorts of affliction to many people who had run that race. And I also want to send a special tribute to the people of Boston for staying strong through all that. And the phrase is Boston Strong, and they've certainly lived up to that name as they've gone through that. It's a town that, in my view over the years, I'd seen as provincial, really acted really, really professionally and wonderfully in the wake of such terrible adversity. And first responders were right on top of things. And law enforcement was right on top of things. And the people are right on top of things, too. You got to give Boston a whole lot of credit for getting through a situation like this. And I'm really glad that, at least for the moment, things are starting to come around. You know, we always get into how, oh, Boston's this, and they're so silly being so weird in their own way. But honestly, it's a tremendous city. And I think, as much as, you know, people from New York or people from L.A. hate the Boston teams or hate the Boston culture, it is a kind of independence that they carry that is a little different from other cities that I think should be celebrated. And thankfully, I think they're going to move on fine, and we'll continue to be able to celebrate Boston for being itself. And the worst thing that you could ever have in a situation when there is a terrorist attack is that it cuts into your way of life, and then you decide that you don't want to live the way that you used to. That's pretty much the worst thing that could possibly happen. I am hoping that from this, they can, you know, people can have the courage to go back and race again in a marathon, And from this, I hope that we can continue to become such a strong country. And I think it's that resilience that has made us get this far. And I think it is the same resilience that will get us, Boston and other cities, to greater things in the years to come. So thank goodness for that. Good to see the city of Boston on its feet. I hope that they continue to stay that way, even though I know that on the outside, I'm probably going to be rooting against them. But I can't truly root against such a proud community such as that. That's all I had. Thanks for taking the time to observe those thoughts. It's pretty much was the biggest thing on my mind. It was going to be kind of weird to do a show in the middle of all that. There are still a lot of questions to be answered. A number of them have been answered by now. But now we go back to sports. And this week is the draft. And who better to do the draft than the man who is the master of the draft, as far as I know, Mr. Ron in New Jersey, who is now joining us for our first ever Dave in the City mock draft. Ron, good to have you. How are you doing tonight?
What's going on, Viv?
I'm fine. I couldn't have come up with a better guest than yourself at this moment. We were hoping to have our friend Pretty Tony on, but I couldn't get a hold of him, so we'll go it alone. This is an exciting time of the year. I know that the Jets are certainly a big part of that. Before we get into the draft, though, I wanted to ask you about Revis. Revis gets traded to the Buccaneers for draft considerations, a whole lot of stuff. Do you think this works out for the Jets?
Yeah, I think it does, actually, and I think it was the only option when it comes down to it. First, let me say that was a great opening. I really enjoyed it. Being a Red Sox fan, I've never been more proud of being a Red Sox fan than Saturday's game. I don't know if you caught that or not.
I did. No, I was really
your
moving.
Popcorn pan somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But it was definitely, you know, something to see with the whole pregame ceremonies, and then, you know, Ortiz's speech and Neil Diamond coming out in the seventh inning stretch. It was definitely, you know, proud time to be a Red Sox fan. I hope that that carries over the rest of the season, but we'll get that out of the way. But, yeah, I think the Revis thing, it had to be done. You know, there's bad blood between the two.
Number five in our countdown from April 24th, 2013. That was the NFL draft preview episode and a mock draft, but it was much more than that. It was Ron and I recapping a horrific Boston Marathon tragedy, and one that the city of Boston rallied together to bounce back from, but nevertheless, one that I don't think the people out there will ever forget. And we continue our top five Did Cow episodes countdown in this special retrospective. And on a lighter note, in that same draft preview episode was the first of the NFL draft previews that Ron and I did together.
This is Tom Kiernan for your Dave in the City Sports Minute. People are afraid of a lot of things. Some people are afraid of snakes, others rats, or even clowns. But have you ever heard of a man afraid of dots? Men could be afraid of a lot of things. Let's hope Dave in the City's fear of dots moves on to something more ordinary, like signs or pennies. This is Tom Kiernan for your Dave in the City Sports Minute.
Remember those? Those are the CBS Sports Radio Sports Minutes that they used to have, and still have, actually, on CBS/radio.com sports affiliates. And they started those in 2013, and they were incredibly, and still are, incredibly annoying and trite, and it's full of hot takery. So what we did as a group here in the city is that we decided to do a bunch of mock CBS Sports Minutes for the podcast and also for the board at themikefrancesa.com. So here are some of the best examples of the fake CBS Sports Minutes.
This is Ron in New Jersey with your Dave in the City Sports Minute. There's been a lot of talk recently about the proper gym etiquette for putting back your weights, whether you do it or not. Why this is even a question, I have no idea. Just seems to me to be proper manners. If you use something, you put it back. But it's come to my attention that there are some people who believe that you leave it the way you found it. So if you didn't pick it up, you're not putting it back. I have a message for those people. 10 years ago, you not only would you have been kicked out of the gym, you probably would have got a black eye for it. So here's what I propose. I'm going to come to your house, take a shit on your car, and when you come out to clean it, I'm going to tell you, no, no, no. You got to leave it the way you found it. I'm Ron in New Jersey.
I'm Umar in Rockland, and this is a Dave in the City Sports Minute. Mike Francesa is off this week, so our ears are bleeding a little bit because we have to listen to Joe and Evan in the afternoon. Yesterday, in reference to Iman Shumpert, Joe Beningo said the following.
But let me just go back to the Shumpert thing, because it really is amazing, bro, how this guy's stock has fallen when all the guy did was tear his ACL last year.
Really, Joe? Is that all? All he had was an ACL tear? I'm sorry. I didn't know an ACL tear ranked up there with, you know, a paper cut or jamming your finger inside the door. Give me a break. It's not so much that we want Zon anymore. We need Zon. Get lost, Joe. And hopefully, wherever you end up, tell him Joe B. sent you. I'm Umar in Rockland.
I'm John in Greenwich with the Dave in the City Sports Minute. Last week, our eyes were graced with the sentiment from folks behind a computer screen that certain people would lower their standards enough to take one for the team and have relations with Kate Upton. Oh, you would you? Thank you for clearing that up. In equally surprising news, we also discovered that most people favor ice cream over Brussels sprouts and that Warren Buffett has a lot of money. Could you imagine the reaction these people would have if Kate Upton actually appeared at their doorstep? Dare I say the Mia Harris effect times, oh, I don't know, a billion? The reality of the situation is that if Lisa and Whitestone showed up, let alone Kate Upton, the keyboard warriors would be going gaga. I wonder what it is like living out there on Saturn. Let me know when you come back to Earth. You can look me up. I'm John in Greenwich.
That had to be the most popular one of all of them. The John in Greenwich, Connecticut, a.k.a. Yachts, Dave in the City Sports Minute. Man, those were fun. I mean, all we were doing is we were just picking on the on these really trite and contrived CBS Sports Minutes, but they were a good time. Now, 2013 didn't just have these CBS fake Ditkow Sports Minutes, but they also had... jingles! Yeah, this is the first year that we started using all these jingles. I bought a bunch of jingles to use on the show. We haven't used them as much as we used to, but in 2013, they were going hot and heavy. And it included this little talkover bed from this, this 80s jingle, which I liked, back from the Kiss FM days. And kind of just goes like that. You hear that? But they would be used for these top of our IDs, which would be really, really fun to kind of get everybody excited for the show. This also goes back to when we were using the live stream on blogtalkradio.com, and they would often lead into one of these.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk, box of the week.
And now I'm going to show you some of the memorable voiceover intros that we've done over, the past couple years.
You're listening to Locks of the Week Radio, the home of Dave in the City and the Football Pick'em Podcast. Now, get ready for uncensored sports madness. It's Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. John in Connecticut and Mike in North Jersey bring hard-hitting, hilarious golf talk with Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is John Wood of the Football Pick'em Podcast, and you're listening to Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio.
This is Jerry in Piscataway. You're listening to Locks of the Week Radio. And Kate Upton, if you're listening and you think Nick Swisher is weak, holla at your boy.
Coast to coast, internet sports talk. Box of
The jingles were a great setup for all of our segments, but in one particular segment that we love and hold near and dear to our heart as well, it was often at the top of the second hour during this year of 2013.
Do the dance! It's time for random questions.
Good stuff!
In the city with Kevin on the
And random questions certainly was augmented greatly by the use of this jingle. We still use it today. And some more juice from the random questions hours of 2013. Here are some additional 2013 highlights. This is, let's see. Question. Would you cross-dress... Oh, boy. Would you cross-dress for a year for $100,000? A year? $100,000? Would you cross-dress for a year... Let me run this. Okay.
I have to dress up as a woman.
Would you cross-dress for a year for $100,000? This means everywhere. Weddings, funerals, nightgowns, and bed. But your wardrobe's all paid for, so you don't have to pay for it.
Okay. Do I have to cross-dress at work?
Yes.
Because I can't. With the work that I do, I can't really wear, like, girl stuff. Not to sound... chauvinistic, but heels and you get all. When I think of cross dressing, I'm thinking of like out here, you know, we've got our drag queen scenarios and that kind of things in Provincetown. That's where my head goes to, but I guess if. But I. See, I don't know. Can I just cross dress by wearing like a woman's wig? What else would I have to do?
I think you're going to have to go all out based on the nature of the question.
Like, shave my legs and wear a skirt and that kind of stuff?
I don't know about the shaving, but the skirts and what have you, I think would probably all be a part of that, yeah. It has to be convincing.
Even the girls that work for me, though, Dave, they don't wear skirts. I mean, they can't wear skirts. It's a fish market. It's not going to...
Okay, well, that's a fair point. Because, like, some women obviously do not exclusively wear skirts, so that's a good point. Let me ask you this. This is a follow-up to the question from our author. How much would you need to be paid to cross-dress for a whole year? How much would it take?
I'm not entirely against the $100,000 thing. I just need to know the rules.
I got you. So
if I could just wear yoga pants and a wig for a year, I'm in.
Oh, that'd be a scene. Okay. So it just depends on the situation. Okay. Okay. So you're even down for the 100K? Yeah.
If you're telling me I've got to wear a dress and all that kind of stuff, then
right. It's
gonna, we're going to have to up the ante. But if I just got to wear those pants that those girls wear and a wig and throw on some eyeliner for $100,000, I'm in. Count me in. I'm up. Let's go. Let's do it.
It says we're getting word that you would have to dress formally when it's called for and use a dress at least twice a week. Would you be okay with that?
Wait, use a what twice a week?
No, you would have to use a dress, like wear a dress.
Oh, no, I'm out.
Okay, you're out. Okay, so that would be a deal breaker for the junk man. All right.
Yeah.
So no amount of money could change your mind on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. Everything's for sale.
How much are we talking?
Oh, probably about $5 million.
Okay, $5 million. I think we got a deal.
Basically, we could talk to some financial experts, but I have to get a number. I'd have to get a number calculating my age and my lifestyle. And when they gave me that number that said, after this year, you'll never have to work again, whatever that number is, that's what I'll do.
I gotcha. Well, you know, you could really go for the gusto. Ask for 10, you know? Why leave it to chance? You know, then you have no shot at having to have to work unless you really have to, if you maintain your same life. No, I think $5 million is a good figure, though. I think that's, no pun intended, but... $5 million is a good figure for that. I think that, you consider where you are now, cost of living and all that. 1 year of that, $5 million, doable.
I wouldn't do it, but I mean, I'm saying it's doable. It's a reasonable figure to use for that situation. So anyway, I think it would take like 20 million to get me to do all of that. 20 million bucks. And if that extends the swimming pool aspect of things, that may be a deal breaker because I'm not going to do that. It is the 8 o'clock hour here in the West, so that means time for America's favorite moment in Sports Talk Podcasting in just a minute. But first, I want to quickly give you some recaps of other things in the schedule. I just wanted to spend like two minutes on college football. And we'll do that with the junk band too, but just a quick little...
To the dance, okay. It's time for,
yeah, we'll do it now.
Questions. Good stuff.
I think the computer decided it for me. Let's bring on Kevin on the Cape. The people have spoken. Kevin, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Holy cow, the computer just hijacked the program.
The computer did. The computer's like hand waved to that. We are getting to the junk, man. How do you feel? What is new, my friend? What is new?
The machines are taking over the world. They wouldn't even let you do your whole little thing. I was ready to wait a couple minutes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I hear the computer.
Oh, well. I mean, listen, if the computer dictates, like, if you know how Mike would say logic dictates, the computer dictates that we get you on. I mean, I'm not one to argue. We've got a lot going on in the world of football, and the NFL side of it still has to be covered, and we will cover, too, with America's favorite moment in Sports Talk Podcasting.
Hi, everybody. This is Andrew.
Wrong jingle.
To the dance. It's time for random questions. Good stuff. In the city with Kevin on the Cape.
Is Jim working engineering tonight? Ha, 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 ha. Nah, it's just me. I do all the jingles myself. It's funny. But now let's go ahead and pop the right button to get our friend Kevin on the Cape on the air. Welcome, Kevin. How are you this fall evening? What is new?
You have to, you know, at some point in the next day or two, just re-listen to that intro and listen to you. When you say the word, when you say the phrase wrong jingle, you sound so disgusted in yourself. I've been laughing for the last 30 seconds. You're like so disappointed, like, oh, it's wrong. You're just, it was great.
I gotta re-listen to myself there. That was
wrong. It was like wrong jingle, and I can picture you in your house looking like over your shoulder for someone to blame, and then realizing there's no one back there, and it's your fault.
Ooh. Well, you saw her a lot. You saw a lot of her the other night, right? No, just kidding. Sorry, Jack. I didn't mean to make you feel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You are such a cornball.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, put it this way. I didn't know she had a belly button ring until last night.
Good stuff, right? Good stuff. Oh, man. Oh, man, you got me pumped up here. That's I'm so happy for you, buddy. I am happy for you. This is great. I don't know. I mean, how would I even follow up that? Oh, I bought peaches. I mean, that's not going to measure up to your story.
I bought peaches today, too, Dan.
You did? Well, that's nice. That's really...
I did buy peaches. And actually, when I was putting the peaches in the bag, I thought of you, which is weird.
That was a fun montage of random questions, highlights from 2013. That summer was really a big one for the Junkman, and it was certainly a nice summer for me as well, doing these shows with him. Good times. So we now go back to the countdown in our top five episodes of 2013 show. And number four now in our countdown is the AL West MLB Preview Random Questions show from March the 12th. Now, Junkman wasn't always available for the show, so there would be occasions where we'd have people filling in. On this night, we had Andy, Tom, and Otis fill in, and they had a lot of fun things to talk about of their own.
I think we've talked about this in the past, but I'd like to just ask you directly, because I don't know if I had a complete answer on this. We'll start with Otis. What is your favorite food? Like the food where you can go, like any time of the day or whenever you're gonna go for it. Like you love that food. What is your favorite food?
That is pretty easy.
and it's an easy answer for most people to go with pizza. I could pretty much eat pizza constantly, but I'm going to throw in something else just to get it out there.
Farm.
I will eat Sour Patch Kids at all times of the day.
Ooh, those are good. I like Sour Patch Kids, too. Very nice. Sour Patch Kids. Do you eat it at the theater, too, or are you just it doesn't matter where you are? You just eat it anywhere.
I think the last movie I saw in the theaters was Shrek 2, so...
Okay.
I am not a moviegoer.
Oh, man.
Terrible job.
That's a while ago. Oh, man.
It's been a couple years.
I got you. No, man. Actually, that's actually a better question, as it turns out. Tom, what was the last movie you saw in the movie theater?
It was like 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
Dave, you know me.
I see
every movie.
You're right.
I just saw Snitch.
Okay. What was that again? What movie?
Snitch with The Rock.
Oh. Snitch?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I barely remember that.
It's okay. It's typical The Rock type movie.
True story?
Yeah.
True story. It's based on a true story. True story.
All right. Very good. Let's go to Andy. Andy, what was the last movie you saw at the movie theater?
That would be Silver Linings Playbook. And, wonderful movie. Obviously, it got all those, like, awards nominated, and Bradley Cooper and De Niro. They seem to form a good team, whether it's that movie or Limitless. And, yeah, it was good. I mean, I haven't seen Argo, haven't seen Zero Dark Thirty, but I made sure to see Silver Linings Playbook before the award ceremony.
Okay, very good. And the last movie I saw at the theater, I'm like Otis, but not nearly as pronounced, but I barely see any movies at all at the theater. So now this is going to take a while for me to guess. What was the last movie I saw at the movie theater? Gee, it's been a while. It has been a while. It might have been Skyfall. That's how long ago it was. I haven't seen a movie since Skyfall. Or was it Wreck-It Ralph? One of those. Because anyway, I saw them both around the same time. So.
What about Magic Mike?
I didn't.
That's old, though. That was last summer.
Yeah, that was last year. I have it in. I'll probably have it in the queue somewhere on Netflix or something like that. I'll have something for you about that soon. That's funny. Oh, man. Tommy's favorite movie, number one. Anyway, next question. Sorry about that. Next question. Next question. This is not for me. This is a question from the board, and it's about the board. Not surprising. Here we go. Favorite meme on the board. We will start with Tommy.
Go to someone else first.
I hate
the memes.
Okay, so... Well, you'll love the second question, the next question. But, all right, Andy, your favorite meme on the board?
Too many. One could say the whole day of posting is just to post in a different meme. I actually never knew what meme was until I saw the word on the board, and I always thought it was just meme. And I was just like, why is there an actual – it's just a trend that takes place on the internet. Why is there an actual word for something like that? It's just a trend. No, it's a meme. Meme. So, anyway, you learn something new every day. And I know you should be working when you work, but when you're on the board, sometimes you learn something that you wouldn't have learned if you're working. And that's Exhibit A. Anyway, I think right now, gun to the head, if I have to pick one meme to use, and you couldn't use any meme for a week, I would pick the Captain No Fun meme, because it's actually easier to post that way, because you don't really have to use any punctuation or exclamation points. You don't have to be polite. It's just, you're just blah, and you correct everybody. And, that's my favorite meme right now. And it's catching on. I think a lot of people use it.
I think I got sucked into it. I think we've all gotten sucked into it, to be honest. It's kind of funny. It's kind of fun, actually, to do that. Sort of a role reversal, change of pace. It's kind of an interesting angle. Not a bad choice, Andy. It really isn't. All right, Otis, your favorite meme on the board?
I actually have a confession to make also. I thought that that word was pronounced mem. So, I guess I have learned a change today as well. But I am going to go with Brett's posts, just waiting, say, 7 to 8 hours, and then doing the little repeater that he may have gotten from someone else. It may have originated with Brett, it may not have, I'm not sure, but I always enjoy posting something a few hours later and pretending it's something that we're seeing for the first time.
That is pretty, I do get a ride out of it, especially if there's a significant delay and you say, oh, Mike was on the show today, and it just sounds so silly to see that out of context. I love it. That's a good answer.
But I also have to say, I'm going to skip ahead, and I saw the next question for least favorite, and how do you say this word? Meme? Is that it?
You got it right. Meme is the...
So least favorite meme, I'm going to also say when Brett posts the same thing 2 hours later. So it's my favorite and also my least favorite.
So when we simulate it, it's your favorite, but when he actually does it, it's your least.
Yeah, when Brett does it, I don't really enjoy it. But when I do it, I get a kick out of it.
I gotcha. Okay. Very good. Tom, we already covered favorite meme and you didn't have one, so how about least favorite meme?
My least favorite one is any of them that Brett does, because Brett is the king of the meme, because it's all me, 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 me when it comes to Brett. Now, I do, in fact, enjoy when Timmy Russo gets mad at Brett and takes a few parting shots at him whenever he gets the opportunity, for when Brett makes a post that's not a meme, because then Timmy Russo is always like, oh, Brett's actually making a post that's an original thought, and then Brett stays quiet for like the next 10 or so minutes, probably muttering shit to himself. That's probably my favorite part of the board, is when Timmy Russo or someone takes a shot at Brett, like, enough. And Brett is a member of the kids club, so I can't get too upset with him, but he really needs to calm down. He's getting, it's too much.
Yeah, he's still young, though. I mean, there's room to grow, I would say. Okay, Andy, your thoughts, least favorite meme on the MikeFrancesa.com.
Let's see. I'm going to have to go with the asshole hair ones. And let me try to explain why. They were very pronounced for like, oh, maybe like for a 3 week span where you just couldn't avoid it. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that people like and don't like about the board. You just scroll down and whatnot. And you can try to ignore. I mean, I post about bad stuff all the time, naughty, you know, dirty stuff, whether it's about, you know, bodily fluid or bad things about, you know, the teams that I'm betting against, stuff like that. You know, a lot of stuff that's grain of salt. But no matter what you post, you're still like, you get a mental visual, and we know Mike is fat and Mike is, you know, large and rude and all that stuff. And that, while that may be true, like when you still see the words Mike's asshole hair, you can be thinking about the exact opposite of that, but it still doesn't go away that quick. So during that time where basically every other post was a reference to, you know, Mike's asshole hair, whether you're combing it or trimming it, it's just like, okay, well, here we go. But, I mean, there's nothing that, like, you don't really hate memes. They're just kind of, you know, some are better than others or at any given time. You know, next month we might have something completely different and we won't even remember... you know, Brett's meme that we all like today.
Then you sent me a text, and like, what the hell? And then I put on MLB Network or some channel real quick. It was ESPN News, actually. And right on the top, they said the Yankees and Ellsbury are in talks for 7 years. And let's just say that I really hope my neighbors, my other neighbors, maybe two or three blocks over, maybe the surrounding towns around me, put their earmuffs on because I went off.
Oh, boy. You know, they just don't learn. I mean, it's 7 years, 142 million?
153 million.
Oh, my gosh. 153.
For what, Dave? For what? I like Jacoby Ellsbury. I've told my father we're watching World Series. I said, I like his game. I think he's a solid player. Is he worth 7 years at age 30 who relies on his speed, $153 million? Are you kidding me? This team never learns. They have no farm system. They have no rotation. They have a depleted bullpen. And they go off and they spend $153 million on an oft-injured outfielder who's 30 years old? Wake up, Brian! Wake up! Someone do something! I mean, goddamn, every goddamn time they back the Brinks truck up, they spend a shitload of money, and 5 years down the road, every Yankee fan is bitching and complaining about having loaded contracts. Well, why do you think? Why do you think? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, I like the Brian McCann deal. I do. 5 years for a catcher, fine. He can play some first base. He can DH. I like the Brian McCann deal. But this deal, the guy's hit more than 10... more than 9 home runs once in his career! Once!
Oh,
this is unbelievable! They don't have a rotation! They can't fill out a rotation right now! They're going to spend $153 million in Ellsbury? Now, I understand. They said it's not going to stop them from, you know, making a Cano deal done. Not going to stop them from, you know, making some other moves, you know, within the organization. But you could have saved that money. It could have been spent elsewhere in better positions. It could have been spent in the rotation. It could have been, you could have got other guys, you know, to play the outfield. You could have, you don't have to spend $153 million on Jacoby Ellsbury. I saw a stat that he's the highest paid outfielder since Matt Kemp and Manny Ramirez. He's not in the same stratosphere as Matt Kemp and Manny Ramirez. Are you kidding me? Kidding me?
Wow.
Robinson Cano got offered, what was it, 180 was the last deal? I believe
it was like 100.
Is that right, Dave?
I heard 186. I'm not sure. Don't quote me, but that's around
something
there.
Something like that. Yeah. 186. Robinson Cano is the same age as Jacoby Ellsbury. I understand Jacoby, you know, he's a great base dealer. He plays good defense. Robinson Cano, I watch him every goddamn night. The guy is phenomenal at second base. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the fucking UZR says, what the XYZ says, what the ZHR says. I don't give a damn. I watch Robinson Cano every night. He makes every play. He makes plays going towards second base. He makes plays that not a lot of second basemen can make. He has a shortstop's arm. The guy is phenomenal at second base. He hits over 300. He hits, you know, 30-plus home runs, 29, 28, 30 home runs. He has an on-base percentage of around 900. The guy's a stud, a stud. And you give Jacoby Ellsbury $153 million, and then you should have been focusing on Robinson Cano. I understand he's playing a little hardball right now. I understand that, you know, Jay-Z thinks he's the Michael Jordan of baseball, which is absolutely amateur hour. But Robinson Cano and Jacoby Ellsbury, in my opinion, are not on the same playing field. I mean, I thought Jacoby Ellsbury might have got 115, 120, if that, maybe 100, from between 100 and 120. 153 was just very surprising, seeing Jacoby could play. Don't get me wrong, he can play, but he's hurt a lot. He relies on his speed. Is he going to be stealing 40, 50 bases at age 33, 34, and then the Yankees still have him for 3 more years? I mean, I don't like getting players that rely on their speed. I mean, not that I don't like getting them. I wouldn't give them these long-term deals, especially at age 30. Jacoby was 27, 28. He's 30 years old, Dave. He's the same age as Robinson Cano.
That's remarkable. That's unbelievable. I mean, that you know, you have two guys basically at the same point in their career, basically the same point in their career, and I mean, by the time that contract's done, it's, I mean, you can't eat it. It's gonna be, it's going to be like $100 of contract
left. No one's going to take that contract. No one's going to take Mark Teixeira's contract. No one's going to take Alex Rodriguez's contract. When will they learn? Build a farm system. Get young players. I understand they want to make money. They want to put asses in the seats. I understand that. But you know what? I thought this was going to be the one year, the one offseason, where they didn't go and spend like drunken sailors. I didn't think the free agent crop was that deep. I thought they made him a canned deal. That's fine. It's a necessity. Our catchers were worse than if you or I were the catchers last year. They batted 219. You know, A-Rod is a mess. Jeter's coming off an injury. Rivera retired. I thought maybe they would take a year or two to hopefully develop some young talent, get, you know, some money stacked up where when there is a crop of free agents that, you know, hopefully would include a pitcher or two, then they could start spending some money. I really didn't think that they would spend 7 years, $153 million, on a 30-year-old outfielder who spends weekly vacations on the DL during the season. It blew my mind. I was totally shocked.
Now we're up to our third best episode of 2013, and it was Sark to USC Random Questions. In this episode, we did a random questions, and in the middle of the random questions, Andy in Seattle proposed an idea. He said he wanted to come on and present his clown car driver of the month, you know, feeding off of things he would say on the message boards and on the internet. So he offered to come on and do a special clown car driver segment. So here is his inaugural segment from that year. This is from December 4th.
It is now time for the clown car driver of the month award for the month of November. And to help us present our nominees tonight, we present to you, Andy, in Seattle. Andy, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
We're good, Andy.
Sorry I'm late. I had some issues here with some errands, returning golf bags, doing laundry, watching basketball. So, anyway, here we...
Andy? He was ready to go, too. He was ready to go. His call just fell out. Oh, my God. Did you hear that? The cell phone just cut out on him. Ah, terrible job out of the cell phone going gym on our friend Andy in Seattle. Junkman, what an intro, though, by our friend Mr. Clueless with that song. I was laughing hard at that guy. So,
absolutely, and the fact that Andy starts a conversation with, sorry, I've had some issues, is the obvious thing. That's the obvious quote of the year. He's got issues. Don't get me wrong, they're good issues.
I dig it.
But, yeah.
I dig it.
Well, I mean, what the heck was that song? It would sound like it was at a circus.
It was circus music. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, so we have Andy back on the telephone, so let's go ahead and get him back. All right, Andy, welcome back to the show. Sorry about that. I hope that you're hanging in there. You got the phone, everything ready to go?
That might have been me. I don't know. That Samsung product placement, Samsung Galaxy S4. Apparently, if you have fat cheeks, I don't know. I thought I pressed a button that hid the screen or made it, you know, not react to sweat glands or fat fingers or chubby cheeks. But who knows? If we got disconnected, apologize.
No problem. All right, buddy. So
this is what happens when we go on the fly. Yeah. So hey, Junkman again. Hey, Chat. Hey, Dave. And, yeah, it's been a wild November. We had two late entries into the fold for the clown car nominees. So I actually have four of them. Usually it's been three, but Mr. Junkman will have to pick between four. If I'm a gambling man, I would nominate one of the choices. But, again, this is why he gets to decide. And but I have a feeling where he would go. But anyway, rambling here. Are we ready to submit the nominees?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. Okay. Contestant A, they would be the Black Friday Mongos. And now, as we all know, it's almost like Black Thursday, too. So any of these people, whether it's Thursday night or Friday morning at 5 a.m., any of those people that are just that can't just exercise any discipline to just chill, lay low, enjoy Turkey Day, enjoy the day off on Friday to go to a movie, watch Pigskin, play with your son, spend time with your daughter, drink with your old college buddies. Any of those people that would rather forego that and choose to go to Best Buy, Walmart, Target, Bon Marché, Nordstrom, Macy, wherever, whenever, just to get, you know, in line to buy a fancy toy video game and save an extra $40. You risk the chance of getting in a fight, just running into all these sorts of mongos. You know, you see these people literally wrestling in aisle 7 over freaking Batman, Dark Knight Rises Blu-ray. I mean, you've got to reassess something in your life, not to borrow Mr. Mike's phrase, if you're home alone on Thanksgiving afternoon with nobody and nothing to do. So that's nominee A, the Black Friday mongo that needs to go to the store to save $20 on a Blu-ray DVD. Contestant B, this was hard to decide, so we just lumped them in together. That would be the basketball of taking place in the entire New York area. So that's Brooklyn and New York Knicks. I couldn't just pick, label them separately. We're lumping them together. I think the Knicks were 2-11 in November, and then the Brooklyn Nets were 5-11. That is just atrocious basketball. The Knicks were a 2-seed last year, a 2-seed. And I know J.R. Smith hasn't been shooting very well, and, you know, the burden on Carmelo Anthony is too much, and Felton isn't Felton, and now it's time to fire Woodson, and they just can't get it together. Poor them, whatever. And then the Nets, it's fun to just make fun of the Nets because they're, oh, we got Joe Johnson and Jaron Williams, and we got Jason Kidd. He was the best point guard in America for so long. And we got KG and Porno Paul, and we have so much talent. We are going to just contend with Miami. We're going to contend with the Bulls, and we are just going to take over the city of New York. Madison Square Garden has nothing on this new arena. And they just suck. And now they have this poor Lawrence Frank guy who is probably this a nice guy, red hair, and just, you know, quiet and basketball genius. And Jason Kidd is just like, this guy's the reason why we're 2-11. And we're going to gel. We're going to get it together. And we are going to contend with Miami. And we are going to contend with the Bulls. Just give it time. Give it time. Well, there's no time. You guys are clowns, and so are the Knicks. And they might have to share a clown car. It's all up to Junkie. Contestant number C, letter C, number C, wherever, whatever. We are going to concentrate on hot stove here, these last two candidates. And in with the Robinson Cano going to Seattle potential, it was brought to our attention that it rains all the time in Seattle. It rains all the time in Seattle. Did you know it rains all the time in Seattle? And if Robinson Cano goes to Seattle, well, he better get those waterproofs. He better get the best waterproofs in the world because it rains all the time in Seattle. Oh, does it really rain all the time in Seattle? I don't know. It says here that New York City actually averages more rainfall than Seattle. And it says here that Boston averages more rainfall than Seattle. And it says here that Washington, D.C. averages more rainfall than Seattle. And it says here that Philadelphia averages more rainfall than Seattle. But the stereotype exists, and the stereotype exists because it exists. And when stereotypes exist, I'm going to believe in stereotypes. I don't care if I've never been west of the Mississippi River. I don't care if I've been to the Rocky Mountains. It snows all the time in the Rocky Mountains, and it must rain all the time in Seattle. I've never been to Seattle, but I am going to insist that it rains all the time in Seattle because I've never been to Seattle, but I'm going to insist because stereotypes are the best thing ever, and stereotypes are what I believe in. So the mongo that believes and that chooses to have their beliefs formed because of stereotypes, I say they belong in a clown car rather than someone that wants to form an opinion based on senses like smell and sights and sounds and tastes. If you want to form your opinion that way, I think that you can be in a different type of car. But if you are someone that forms opinion based on stereotypes, then you go in a clown car. And if you think Robinson Cano is going to be wearing extra rain gear if he goes to Seattle, then that's clown car C. And clown car D, from last night with the Jacoby Ellsbury situation and the payroll mongos came out from hibernation. It didn't take too long. We thought they were going to be dormant until springtime, but no, Jacoby Ellsbury, 7 years, 153. Wake up the payroll, Mongo, and do not touch snooze, because they're out. They're out to get somebody, and who knows what that somebody is, but it must be somebody. How can the Yankees pay this much money for Jacoby Ellsbury? I don't care. It's not my money, but somebody is going to pay for somebody paying so much money for Jacoby Ellsbury. And that is, I can't stand the payroll Mongo. The Red Sox have payroll mongos. The Mets have payroll mongos. Even the Yankees have payroll mongos. The Yankee fan is complaining about their team spending money. And then if their team doesn't spend money, why can't we spend money? Why aren't we buying more free agents? Why can't we get the player that we need? And then when they do spend money, they go, well, I don't like this contract. It's the fucking Yankees. They are born to spend money. That is what they do. They are the flagship franchise of Major League Baseball, and they spend money. So when they spend money, it's no surprise, but people act surprised when they spend money. So clown car D is the payroll mongo. And those are your nominees for November.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Andy. And certainly now we turn it to the junk man for his selections of the clown car of the month. We'll recap them for you. Black Friday mongos is clown car A, clown car B, New York area basketball, so the Knicks and the Nets. Clown car C, the stereotype mongos who insist it rains all the time in Seattle. And clown car D, payroll mongos, Yankee payroll, Red Sox payroll, what have you. So who do you select for the clown car driver of November?
That was amazing.
Absolutely. I was...
Truly, like, yeah. And it's funny because he hits on so many things that just need, you know, don't get said often, but should. The thing with the rain has always drove me completely insane, especially when there's actual facts. You know, you can measure rainfall. It's not, you know, someone's opinion. When I was living in Denver, people always used to think it was, they said, oh, you must be freezing. It must snow all the time. And you could look it up, you know. You can look up snowfall. You can look up rainfall. That was good. The payroll stuff, he hit it right on the head. I can't believe it started already. That's something I didn't think we'd have to deal with for a while. And the New York basketball, they're a complete disaster, complete joke. It's still a little early. However, it is amazing that I was just looking in the newspaper at lunch today that the Celtics have as many wins, I believe, as the Knicks and Nets combined. I'm
Whoa.
Not a math expert, but...
Whoa! Woo.
It, you know, the team that all offseason after the trade to the Nets, all I heard about here was how they're just going to tank and get the first pick or the second pick and get one of these all-stars, which still may happen. They still could trade people, who knows. But as of now, I think they're fourth in the East with a bunch of guys and Rondo still.
That really is
unbelievable. And a brand new coach who looks like he's about, you know, 18 years old.
I'm telling you, man, is he the water boy or the coach? I haven't decided on that yet. Still haven't decided. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, because I hear him more because they always do the pregame on EEI. Not EEI, it's the other channel. I can't. That's my mistake.
98. So Sports Hub, right? Sports Hub.
I hear his interviews a lot.
Yeah.
And he sounds terrific. He gives just great breakdowns and really intelligent and stuff. And then you will see him and you're like, who? They're like, where's the head coach? Who's the intern that's running around on the bench? Like, is the coach, you know, coaching from the booth somewhere else? And like, this is his son. Just they put his son on the thing because his son's energetic and looks good in the suit. But he has done an unbelievable job. However, my choice is by far at not even close is the Black Friday people. I've never ever in my entire life understood what their mindset, what they do, why they do it. Andy was starting to touch on it, and he got really close to what I've always thought about. You know, the people who wake up at 1-2 in the morning, wait online, fight with their neighbor. The only thing I'll add to that is what amazes me is even more so is you wait online, you look through the paper and see your little, this, you know, which stores you're going to go to. So you skip time with your family and your friends and your kids to actually spend money. So what you're doing is waiting online, fighting with people, and then you have to give money to someone at the end. Where if you're telling me I'm going through all this stuff, you better be paying me.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it really, you know, there. The more you think about it, the less sense it makes, right? I mean, it's certainly I wouldn't say deplorable situation, but definitely not one that you'd be proud of. And Black Friday Mongo, I think, is going to get a lot of votes for anybody for the clown car driver of the month. But the Junkman has official ruling, and so congratulations to Black Friday Mongos in America for winning Clown Car Driver for November. And again, our thanks to Andy in Seattle for presenting the nominees. Really a great list today. Really great list tonight. It was just incredible. Number 3 in our top 5 DITCOW episodes of 2013, the Clown Car Driver of the Month segment, which came from the Sark to USC Random Question Show, December 4th, 2013. Now we get into number 2 on our list. And it is the episode titled The Football Undefeateds. And on this episode titled The Football Undefeateds, it's Andy in Seattle again. But this time he's ranting about NFC East primetime scheduling. And then we get some kibitzing from him and Otis, from Say Hello to Otis. And then in the end, we get a little special surprise guest. Take a listen. I'll look it up later, but I couldn't agree with you more about the NFC East. And another thing, NBC puts their games on all the time. I mean, I think I counted it. Maybe one or two teams have 3 Sunday Night Football appearances, and this isn't even counting flex scheduling, which occurs in December. You get a maximum of 4, so they're leaving one out in case there is a flex. It is incredible.
Well, flex schedule is all NFC East. They save the flex for the NFC East games that don't make the first cut will make the second cut. Do us all a favor, and the Giants fans a favor too, because a lot of Giants fans hate the late game. Just cut it out. Give someone else these late games. There, you get the Giant fans happy. They get the game at 1 o'clock, and then the rest of the country doesn't have to be subject to, you know, the salsa dance, the salsa dance, the salsa dance, the salsa dance. Enough of Big Blue. Enough. Eli Manning's thrown what? 7 interceptions already?
Yep.
So we don't have to see Peyton Manning until week 8 because he's thrown like a half season's worth of interceptions already. But they're good interceptions. The Giant Mongols, they're good interceptions. They're like punts.
We are excited to bring in our friend Say Hello to Otis to join us tonight here to round out our first hour. So Andy, say hello to Otis. Otis, welcome to the program. How you doing?
And good evening to you, and how you be at 10:55 and 52 seconds with me here and you there and Andy on the other side of the phone as we take you through a Wednesday evening schmooze until we take out the trash with the junk man at 11. It is a sad, sad day this Wednesday. Oh, yes, a sad day for the fancy Yankees fans. As they realize that their time has run out. No longer are they with the Kevling.
No more Mazel Tov wishes for them. It is a sad, sad day in the Bronx as our pal Jerry in Piscataway bends his spoon with disgust. But it was not just so sad. It was not just to be for the mighty Yankees. Maybe the fancy Aroid ran out with the PEDs. Maybe the fancy Joe Girardi has lost his book. Or who knows, C.C. Sabathia may have eaten it with his Captain Crunch. But as sad as these days have been for the Yankees, as they coughed away the season with the phlegm and the mucus and the mushroom barley soup, oh, as sad as they've been, they're only going to get sadder as the Sandman prepares to enter and exit one final time. And no, no, we're not talking with the Billy Wagner. Mariano Rivera, as he says goodbye at the end of the year. And wouldn't you? What is it with all the presents, the chairs, the bats, the photos? Mariano will be making millions on eBay. What? And it seems like the Mets are doing their very best to honor Mariano Rivera in only a way that they can, by getting no saves. What is it with this pitching? As we speak of pitching, we must mention the fancy Matt Harvey. And the Mets fans are sick to their stomach with the tearing of the arm and with the Qualcomm. But Harvey shows no fear. No, no, no. With the All-Star game and the pitching. And what is it with the naked pitchers? But as he meets with Dr. Andrews, the only thing worse the Mets fans can fear is a meeting with Dr. Kevorkian. Oh, but fear not, New York fans. No, no, no. Fear not. Better days are coming. The summer season comes to an end, and a new season will soon be beginning. And I'm not talking with the fall, but with hockey season. What is it already? As the Islander fans get giddy, and Gator is picturing Jonathan Tavares skating along the mausoleum, holding Lord Stanley's cup. But we know better. No, no, no. And the Devil fans are still celebrating with the addition of Schneider as Chico paints pictures of 82-0. But we know better from this as Covey has packed his bags for the motherland, leaving New Jersey behind. All of New York knows better as we have but room for one hockey team in New York City. And there is only one goaltender that matters in this city, and that is Henrik Lundqvist. And oh, is it good to be king. And it was great to be king 19 years ago when Stefan Matteau did this. Back after this.
Oh, that's a thing of beauty. I was hoping he'd use the actual clip this time. That was pretty good. Andy, I can't say anything further about that. That was pure brilliance. Mr. Clueless, what did you think of our friend's telephone call?
I don't know how he does it. Either he writes those posts and he leaves those voicemails. That's Summer. He's trying to be the Summers dude, right?
Yeah, Steve Summers, correct. Yep, that was a definitely good ringer of an impression.
Well, I mean, after I found out just how high my IQ was today, I feel like I had to step up and do something.
Yeah, untapped potential, bro. Untapped potential. Get off. I think everyone that has those high IQs, what the fuck? Just get off the board. Go ahead and soak. Go spread that knowledge elsewhere. You're wasting too much time on the board posting YouTube, talking with bad grammar, and playing audio. Let's go out there and educate. Get that free education and do something with it. Nope, not happening.
I dig it, man. I dig it. And Otis, it really was good to hear from you again. I can't believe how close it really is to hockey season. I mean, I'm already hearing these updates about preseason games. I'm like, man, it's just like the Stanley Cup was like a week ago. Crazy stuff, but good time.
Right around the corner.
Right around the corner. You got it. Yeah, you know. We have you on the telephone line. I wanted to get a quick take on your thoughts on the Jets this year. Is this going to be... What can a Jets fan draw from as far as something to look forward to as the season goes along? I mean, their defense is good, so I give them that. I mean, they've been pretty competitive. What's in store?
Yeah, their defense really is the one thing that you can really take to the bank. I mean, it's you look at their drafts, and they've been drafting really good defensive players the past couple of years. You got Cobles, Wilkerson, Richardson this past year. Richardson's going to be a stud from this year. So you got the defense in place this year. Maybe Geno can play. If he can't, you'll have a high pick next year. So you got the defense in place. The one thing that I think is, and I don't know if a lot of people will agree, I think that Rex Ryan is going to stick around for a lot longer than we think.
Wow.
I think they're sold on him, and he can coach defense, so I just think that he'll be around for a while.
You know, at the end of the day, it wouldn't even be the end of the world if that actually happened. I mean, Andy, I was interested to know what was he talking about other than Rex? Oh, yeah. Do you think Rex Ryan will be around after this year?
Do I think Rex Ryan will be around?
Yeah, just your quick opinion on that.
I won't give you a big finger if you say
that. I'm not worried about big finger. I would, because here's the thing. Mr. Mike always says, like, the new GM has to pick his own coach because the GM has the philosophy and he has a coach in mind when he thinks of the philosophy. I don't know how much of that is actually true. So I'm going to forget Mr. Mike says that or said that, and just going by my own Mongo thought process. Oh, fuck, Arizona's losing 3-0. That's not good. I would say he sticks around, because what would be the point for them to find a new coach and a new quarterback? It's like you've got like a couple square ones going on. You should only be able to have like, you can handle one square one, you know, rebuilding with a new quarterback, with an existing coach. But then you've got, if you're going to push a button after 1 year of rebuilding with the quarterback, and then you're going to have another coach with a quarterback that's only had 1 year of starting experience, and then if that doesn't go well, then everyone can make an excuse and be like, well, it's not really, this is almost like another first year for the quarterback because he's playing under another coach. And I think you can build up another slippery slope that way. So I don't think they should get rid of Rex Ryan if they have a lousy year this year, because honestly, you're being patronizing. I'm not being patronizing. I don't think any of the shortcomings the Jets will have this year will be because of Rex Ryan. He's just doing all he can do with the 53 guys he has on the team.
Yeah, I think continuity really does play a factor in NFL management. And as Otis was saying, I mean, he does do certain things well, and I think that defensively he certainly is one of the better coaches out there. So, I mean, I think it's a correctable problem, I mean, the thing with offense. And I even think Geno Smith has showed some signs that he might be pretty decent. I mean, certainly he's got more upside and potential than Sanchez does, and I don't understand... I would not be one to defend Sanchez at this point. He's had his chance. I think that's about it. As far as Sanchez, would you say that he's hit the end of the road, Mr. Oatman?
Oh, God, I hope so. I think it's safe to say that we've seen the last of him and his fancy little headband. I think hopefully... if we have to see him again this year, that would be awful. But I think actually one way that I could conceivably see Ryan getting fired or them getting rid of him would be if somehow they landed a pick, like the first or second pick, and the GM is convinced that he wants to take Bridgewater, and he doesn't want Rex there for that. That's the only way I think that Rex goes, or if they finish with one or two wins, but I think they'll win a couple more games than that.
Yeah.
I
pretty much would concur with most of that. So final thing before we all go tonight for our first hour, I do have one other phone caller on hold, 201 area code. Now, I do not know who this is, fellas. I don't know who this is. We'll pop it on. It is not Panther Shock. I can say that, even though the area code is the same. Let's get him on. 210 area code. You are in the city with the Oat Man and Mr. Clueless. This is Dave. How are you tonight?
Hey, it's Dan Tellis from the board. How are you guys doing tonight?
Get out. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Dan.
How you doing?
What's going on, boys?
We're good.
What's shaking?
Not much.
Hey, I heard you talk about the Jets. I wanted to chime in on the Jets for a second.
Okay.
So I was trolling Mad Dog's Twitter account earlier today, and he said something to the effect of, I guess after the Thursday night game, something to the effect that even after two games, there's certain elements about Geno Smith that he just can't get wrapped up in. And go look it up, Dave. It's in his Twitter account. He's saying he has no confidence in Smith being good or something to that effect.
Right.
I don't know if he put the word element in there or not, but he definitely said he has no confidence in Smith being a big-time quarterback. What do you think of your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what?
I got to say, one thing about Geno is, and I saw it completely different in college when I saw him. He doesn't look like he controls the offense. And I guess it's because he's got such a howl face, straight face. But he doesn't have very much excitement. But I don't know. That's just one.
I like what I've seen from him. I gotta be honest. I thought he was gonna be a total bust, like never make it on the field. And I thought he stood in there pretty good the other night. And you know, I'm cautiously optimistic as a Jets fan that he might have something here. I'm not like sold on Bridgewater either yet. But hey, Dave, speaking of the draft and the Jets at the top five pick, you know, I heard you talking about UCLA before, and
yep.
You know, I'm not sold on Hundley until Mr. Mike tells me he's going to be a big factor next year.
You know, Hundley's got some tools, though. I agree with Clueless. I think he's really an exciting quarterback to watch. I mean, not only his mobility factor, but he can make some throws. If he's a middle of the draft
fair, to be fair, look, McShay had him on a second on his board on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
ahead of everybody else but Bridgewater. And when I saw that, I figured Mr. Mike would see that and start paying attention to him, and I figure we'll hear from Mike around middle of October to tell us that, you know, Hundley's just, the kid from UCLA is this big prospect because McShay now has him rocketing up the board ahead of Murray and all these other guys. So I figured, you know, Mike's going to tune in on that soon.
I know what you mean.
Mr. Mike will bet on UCLA and be like, this Hundley kid can play. And it's funny. I don't want to go down the slippery slope, but you're going to have a lot of these old guys born in 1950, and they see Bridgewater, and they see Hundley, and they're like, oh, I can't believe that he can do so much with his arm. It's like, dude, you can't be more – you can't say that anymore. Like,
right.
Since they're not like they're not legs first, arm second. They're like their arms are what you know drives them. So you have to be a little more progressive now, Mr. Mike and Montclair.
I agree with that, man.
Dave, I'm gonna let you run, but I have one last thought. What do you think, Yankees can make the playoffs? I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
I don't know if I want to go there.
They're winning it all, bros. The Yankees are winning it all.
I hope you all enjoyed that. I mean, you even got a cameo from Dan Tullis at the end of that. Number two in our top five episodes of 2013. So that brings us to one leftover episode, the best episode of the year. And it was number one, Yachts in Studio. That's right. The first studio guest. Other than, like, you know, my non-board friends, the people I've already known before when the show started. But the first of the guys from the board, a.k.a. the MikeFrancesa.com, to make it into studio, joined us on October 9th, 2013. And he, of course, is John in, at that point, Greenwich, Connecticut. Now he's in Orlando. He used to be in Sanford as well.
but everybody calls him Yachts. So Yachts made his foray into the Ditkow Studios, and it was a real treat, you know? I was wondering what it would be like to have a fellow board member on the air in the same room, and it was pretty great. You know, it didn't take much time to get the show on the road, and here are some of the clips from that episode. We start with the initial greetings, the acclamation, talking about, you know, being in the area, being here in Southern California, and what that's like for Yachts. And he shares some very interesting insights.
Greenwich, Connecticut, it sounds really nice. Like, it sounds very posh almost, like in, sort of like a Santa Monica here. What is your impression
of
Greenwich?
No, it is. I mean, it's got, you know, a lot of people have heard of the town.
Uh-huh.
As someone who, you know, there's stereotypes about it. Everyone there is rich. Everyone, you know, I'm not. I'm a normal guy.
Uh-huh.
I run in a two-bedroom apartment there. It's very expensive to buy real estate. Cost of living is very high, but not everyone from the town or living in the town is a multimillionaire.
Right, I got you.
But some people think that that's the case.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But it's not at all. But it is a nice town.
That's cool. Is it really big? Like, how many people live there?
Well, I mean, population's about 60,000.
Okay.
Land area's pretty big.
Okay.
It borders Stamford.
Right.
And then on the west, it's like right on the border of New York. It's the first town in Connecticut on 95. So Port Chester, New York is to the west.
Right. Okay, so you have upstate, you know, you have like the upper, I don't know, is that called upstate New York? Like
no,
Westchester?
It's, yeah, it's borders, Port Chester is a part of Westchester County. So, I mean, I guess if you're from New York City, you might call that upstate, but in reality, it's not upstate.
Not really, right?
No. Yeah. It's, Greenwich is really a suburb of New York City.
Oh, okay. So, how many miles is that away? Like 20 miles or so?
Yeah, I mean, if you went border of Greenwich to the border of the Bronx, like the northern part of the Bronx, it's maybe 15 miles.
Oh, okay.
But to Manhattan, it would be farther.
Oh, okay. So
if you took like an express train to Grand Central, it's like 45 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Something like that.
That's not bad. That's not, I mean, a train with all the stops and even, you know, that's pretty good.
Right.
Express train would be pretty nice. Okay, so cool. That sounds so. That is your neighborhood, and this is my neighborhood, mm-hmm. Santa Monica. Now, is this your first visit to Santa Monica itself? I mean, other than the pier, which I'm sure you got a chance to see.
Yeah, last year I went to the pier. There's, what is it? There's a street. Maybe it's kind of close to that. You know, that view of the water. I don't know what that.
Ocean?
Whatever that street is.
Oh, the one that. What, same one we were on this afternoon, or
maybe,
no?
Maybe, probably further down. And
you mean the one? I'm sorry, you're talking about PCH, right? Or the freeway?
It's off of Pacific Coast.
Oh, okay.
It's like I got off at an exit, and there was some road that you kind of like overlooked. I don't know. It seemed like it was popular. There was
not
a lot
bad,
of people doing it,
bad.
And then,
yeah.
But then like near there was like a block of bars and they kind of closed off the road and you could walk in the middle of the street. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that's Third Street Promenade right
yeah,
there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So that's where I was.
Oh,
and
cool.
I ate at a pizza place there. I forget the name of it.
Oh, okay. What'd you think of it?
It was okay.
It was okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. That's an expected response. Yeah, I know. I know. People from out east are definitely very big on the pizza, so they'll have a much more critical tongue to, or critical ear when you're evaluating music, or critical eye when you're evaluating art. When you eat, it's a critical tongue, and so it's a critical taste bud. And so I recognize that. That's why I'm not going to go out there and say, I'm going to go out and say, like, you know, Shakey's Pizza, oh, it's the best pizza, man. I'm not going to say that because I recognize it's not, you know, obviously.
I also tempered my expectations, though, I remember at the time, because I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, L.A. pizza,
right?
How good is it going to be? But then, subsequently, I saw that thing about matzah, which now I'm very curious about, you know? So
I'm curious, too. I haven't even been there yet, which is really surprising, I know, but it just hasn't worked out running out.
to the matzah, but I this will be a good experience for us both just to see it for the first time. I trust it'll be good. I hope it's not overrated, though.
Might be, because it's got a lot of hype.
You're right. It's amazingly hyped. This is the... Well, let's see. It would be the... it'd be like the Miami Heat in terms of hype. The Miami Heat of pizza restaurants here in town.
Yeah,
so.
Although in their defense, they have won the title. So so they've lived up to it, right? So
they won the title.
There,
so man, matzah, we will see if they win our title and then see how that goes. That'll be exciting. A couple days from now, that'll come down. Now I have another question for you. No, that's really good. So any other foods that you've had here that you've really been impressed by?
Well, I mean, this trip, I've been here for how many, you know, it's hours that I've been here. I landed here 3
right.
local time, so I haven't really been here that long. So, no. But we did have good, Dave and I did partake in some Mexican food prior to this show.
Yep.
And I had some chicken fajitas, and they were very good, so.
Yep. The name of the place is called Casa Martin, and apparently we got to get the word out because nobody was there when we were there. But it was easy to find parking, a little more challenging to get out of there because I don't think there was a way to get through that, right? You had to go out the same way
yes.
you came in.
Yes. Did you encounter the white pickup truck?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did too.
So, yeah, that guy, although he wasn't blocking, but he did cause kind of a pain to leave the driveway, but whatever.
He never moved like that whole time?
No, he moved when he saw my reverse lights on.
Oh, okay.
So he did help me out.
Okay. Well, that's nice of him to do that, yeah. That was kind of confusing. Now, last year when you came out, you had this really awesome, bitchin', really great orange Volvo.
Yes.
I missed that car.
You know, when I was... Short of actually calling up, and I guess it comes down to thing, if you want something bad enough, I guess you'll go to extra lengths, and I guess the answer is I didn't want it bad enough. However, short of calling, like, these companies and specifically asking for an orange Volvo, which I did not do, I definitely was on these different places trying to see if I could select one via the internet. However,
right.
Never came to be.
Ah.
So I do not have an orange Volvo this time around, sadly enough.
That's all right. So you have instead a Chevrolet
Equinox. Yeah.
Right. And I heard the commercial for the Equinox 150,000 times on the FAN stream. I don't know if you hear it too, but
The stream it doesn't. I don't listen to the
stream.
Oh, you
stream. Don't do the stream.
No,
that's right. You're not a streamer.
I'm a radio guy. I can't. If there is an Equinox commercial, I don't know it. It's not. I don't remember it. It's not ringing a bell. It's not like the John Katsimatidis commercials that you saw Lubs and me posting about.
Yes,
that you
right.
probably never heard.
You know, I never heard it, but I know that the campaign was getting pretty serious. And then what happened there? He had the debate, the local debate,
yeah.
And then it fell apart.
You know, I don't think he came off that refined on the debate. I watched it. I think RKO watched it. I know Lubs. I think Lubs tuned in late, actually. Joel Loda, or as he's referred to, Joel Oder, in Dup speak,
yeah.
Joel Oder. He seemed to be the best one of that debate, and kind of... You know, he was behind in the polls to begin with, and then after that debate, it kind of went farther south for him.
Ouch.
And then I remember on primary night, I was following his tweets, and then he was, it seemed like an act of desperation, he was accusing Oder of doing fake robocalls. And I'm just like, all right, now we're going down that road.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Like, yeah.
Ouch. That's really, you know, and it's, you know, the guy like that, it'll happen when you get a really, really popular candidate for anything, any kind of office. And then there's just that one moment where he gets exposed. And I feel like maybe that was that moment. And it reminds me so much of Howard Dean. like about 8 or 9 years ago. And then he had that speech.
Yep, that was
it. It undid him. At the end.
And he's still, you know, you'll still hear jokes about it so many years later.
That's true.
It's amazing how that total, like, you come on, if someone says the name Howard Dean, the first thing you think of is that.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Without question.
It's really one for the ages.
Later in the show, we actually get Kevin on the Cape to go on with us via telephone to do what normally would have been the Random Questions Hour, but we were doing Random Questions the entire episode, so it was fun to get Kevin in the mix, but with that came a pretty memorable vid moment.
That's pretty cool.
Dave.
Can you provide some exact play-by-play on this, John?
What's going on over there?
I just spilled all over the... I spilled it all over the keyboard. I'm amazed it's not short-circuited yet. There's water all over my pants.
Live radio.
If I can hear anything, it's sort of breaking up, so there may be some interference.
Maybe. I don't know. It's this is pretty dicey right now. I could get shocked to death right now any moment. I don't know what to do.
How does it sound?
It sounds fine. Nothing's changed in the sound.
Oh, okay.
It's, at least from here, it doesn't sound any different.
No, I mean from the chat. Are they saying?
Oh, everybody's just busting up laughing right now.
Okay.
I do want to apologize quickly. No, I'll get to that in a minute. But I need to get a napkin or something. So would you mind chatting with the junk man for a second while I get this paper towel?
Sure.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
How is the apartment?
So, Dave does this to me all the time, and I don't have anything prepared. But
okay,
for the record, I was actually in Greenwich a couple weeks ago.
Oh, were you? Oh, for your sister?
No, I actually had my buddy got married at the, God damn it, I can't even remember the name of the place, but it's right in the harbor there.
Oh, the...
It's right on the water, it was blue. Just,
oh, no, I, okay, no, Lascaux?
Mar, but something.
Lascaux, was that it?
No, it was right, you know, right by the train station, and
I think I know what you're talking. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah, it was. You know, but you know me. It was sort of in and out. I had one day off, and I just.
I was gonna say, was it a hit and run scenario?
Total hit and run scenario.
Okay.
Total hit and run scenario.
Cool. How's business?
What was that?
How's business? Are you still really busy?
Yeah, I'm actually very busy. It's not as actually busy, you know, like the summertime, but, you know, I don't have as much help as you do in the summertime, so I'm just as busy.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I had a half day today. It felt like I had a week off. It was great.
Pretty good stuff, fellas. Thanks for filling in there for me, John. I really appreciate it.
Dave's back.
Go ahead.
I had a question.
Yeah.
So you can prove to all the listeners of the show and in the chat room, does Dave actually do the show with his pants on?
In my presence, yes. I mean, I can't speak when I'm not here, but today, yes, he is.
This can be true. We have a picture of it on Twitter, actually. If you go to... Where is it? Who?
Rollins with JB. I don't even know his name.
JLB 1031.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah,
yeah. So you remember Rollins College for Life, Junkie?
Yes, I remember the name absolutely.
Yeah. So he runs a sandwich shop, up in Westchester, New York. And...
Oh yeah, in White Plains.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right around that area. Correct.
I'm going to be a captain. No fun. It's in Rye Brook, but anyway.
Okay.
No. I had to sneak a captain. No fun in there, but anyway. Go ahead.
No problem. But anyway, wherever it is, it's up there somewhere. And but anyway, he's running. We
that's a rich spot, Dave.
I hear it is.
From Greenwich Fair.
That is correct. Greenwich, too. We've spoken about this.
A lot of money there.
Yeah, I know. That reputation just doesn't die, does it, with the Greenwich?
No, I mean, but, you know, if you looked it up, you'd see, and there's a lot of celebrities that live there and all that stuff, but not everyone there, like I was saying before, is big time. I mean, I live there, so there's an indication right there.
And there it is, your number one episode of 2013, Yachts in Studio Random Questions, which included the Junkman Kevin on the Cape. That's going to do it for our special DidCal retrospective. We hope you enjoyed it tonight. It was really a lot of fun going back and compiling all the memories. And we're going to keep doing it as we go along through our year-long 10 years of DidCal celebration. I am Dave Medina. You can find all of the DidCal retrospectives at didcal.com. But until then, we'll see you next time.